Information Network, coming here from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of our good friend Bob Chapman of the International Forecaster as we go into what's happening financially. And believe me, lots of things are happening financially. Apparently, the Russian sovereign investment fund is coming over here and beginning to buy up America. Corporations and certainly other Chinese sovereign funds are coming over here. America is being bought up by foreigners as we move from being a first-class nation or a first-world nation into a second and then a third-world nation. And as our living standards progressively fall, certainly everything going on around the country shows that many of our banks are insolvent. But it's not just American banks, it's banks throughout the world. They're insolvent because, of course, they've invested so much money in these collateralized debt obligations and these asset-backed securities and these structured investment vehicles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm going to let Bob tell us what's coming up on the latest things, because his newsletter that came out on Saturday, fascinating new information. Hi, Bob. Thanks for being with us again.
Well, thank you, and it's very nice to be here. And I hope you're having very nice weather there in Monterey.
No, we really are. It's just beautiful.
Good. What's new? Well, what's new is that on Friday, lo and behold, the Wall Street Journal, of all people, tell us that the credit crisis is worsening, and that it's going to get worse, and that's very unusual for the Wall Street Journal. They don't usually give us that kind of information, nor do they talk about such things. And it's usually ex post facto, which is after the fact. But they said widening array of financial market problems that threatens to trigger a new wave of global credit crunch, extending it far beyond the risky mortgages that have already cost banks and investors more than $100 billion in losses and potentially bruising the U.S. economy. In the past few days, low-rated corporate loans, the kind that fueled the buyout boom of recent years, have plummeted in value. As a result, banks are expected to try to unload some of those loans this week at fire sale prices. Corporate spreads have widened on average 15 basis points, which is a huge move. And the spreads in Europe on the credit derivatives indexes have widened to new records, as have the derivatives on investment-grade corporate debt. And it goes on. And here you are being told by probably one of the five top media outlets to do with finance that the problem's getting worse, it's not getting better. And I wrote a piece this morning. You know, they're talking about $150 billion that they know of at the moment that American companies and banks, etc., are going to have to bite the bullet on in this subprime fiasco, if you may. And the Japanese have not divulged what they have. But it's my guess it's $150 to $200 billion in this toxic waste.
Well, Chris, I was interested in your remarks on the Saturday edition of International Forecast that many of even the AAA bonds are going to go down as the value of those homes begins to drop. And of course, these AAA bonds, you know, they're trillions of dollars, so those will be right back.
Hello, folks. This is Alex Jones introducing you to the incredible Berkey Solar Charger, your source for free solar electricity. This portable system is the size of a book when folded and small enough to fit into a briefcase, handbag, or glove compartment. The Berkey Solar Charger has been designed to power the Berkey Lights LED lamps as well as other applications such as mobile phones, radios, digital cameras, and PDAs when electricity is not available. Its multi-voltage capabilities, multiple adapters, and rechargeable batteries provide for a flexible source of auxiliary backup power. Simply place the Berkey Solar Charger in the sun, plug in your application, and you have power. Disconnect your application, and the system automatically begins charging its own rechargeable batteries. Get the incredible Berkey Solar Charger for only $75 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. And tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's toll-free, 888-803-4438.
Do you need more than just the constant news of impending tyranny? Yes, this is Elizabeth Border, back with The Divided Kingdom, the hour that analyzes spiritual and cultural issues, too. Lou Blanchard and I are delighted, thanks in large part to past listeners' lobbying efforts. Now, to be on the Great Genesis Communications Network, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Central, formidable Alex Jones says, this is the network often imitated, but never duplicated. Lou and I made the conscious decision to move to GCN because of its classy lineup and leadership. We invite you to hear our program, one we pray will strengthen and bless you. Indeed, trouble is part of the story. But the fellowship of faith surpasses it. Tune in at 6 p.m. Central with The Divided Kingdom.
I don't mind that I'm getting older, but my wrinkles made me too nervous to smile. It was those fine lines that formed around my cheeks and mouth, and those crow's feet over by my eyes. People were starting to think I looked unhappy, but really I was just embarrassed by those wrinkles. Then I heard about a product called Tautinol. Tautinol is a serum that goes directly on the skin to support collagen and reduce the appearance of wrinkles. And it works. I'm not afraid to smile anymore. Now it's your turn. Today you can get a full bottle of Tautinol. You don't need a prescription, and you don't need surgery to reduce the appearance of those wrinkles. See what Tautinol can do for you and your confidence. It sure gave me something to smile about.
For your risk-free bottle of Tautinol, call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914. Tautinol is the non-invasive way to reduce the appearance of wrinkles. Guaranteed. Call 1-800-457-9914. That's 1-800-457-9914.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here with our guest, Bob Chapman. We're talking really about this massive debt that's out there. And it's not simply the subprime loans. Apparently, the Alt-A loans, which are somewhere between the subprime and the AAA, and then even many of the AAA bonds, apparently, many of those are going to go down as the value of the homes goes down, and people suddenly find they're paying, you know, monthly payments on a home that isn't worth what they're paying on. Go ahead. Pick the story up there, Bob.
Well, one of the disturbing things I saw today, which I quoted in the next issue, is that what's happening among AAA-rated homeowners, usually in expensive homes, is that because real estate is not appreciating anymore in value, what they are doing is they're walking away from their homes because they see no appreciation, and they're probably paying fairly high payments, or they have a reset renewal coming up on their loan, and they just turn the keys in and say it's over. And it's very frightening to the lending industry because it just compounds the problem. The lending industry has done a number of things they should have never done. And the borrowers are saying, well, you know, you people made the rules, and then you break them, and you expect us to sit here for the next 10 years on a $1 million home that might be worth $700,000 or maybe $600,000? No, we're not going to do that. Well, I'm not going to be offside $400,000 or $350,000. And so they're walking. So it's compounding it. You know, I was talking about, before we split there for the commercial, I was talking about the problems within the subprime ultra loan area and the overwhelming numbers that are available that have finally been admitted to of $500 billion, of which there's about $150 billion that's been claimed so far in the United States. And I was talking about the Japanese having $150 to $200 billion in this paper. And I think it's part of what's being reflected in the Nikkei Dow's drop from 18,000 to 13,000 in a very short space of time. They talk about 2 months, when in reality it took about 8 days. And that's a 17% correction in 8 days for all intents and purposes. And if they're holding that paper, which I guess that they are, that might be part of the reason that it came down. As our economy slows, the Japanese economy is going to slow. And it's already begun. Their machine orders are off 2.8%. And in December and November, they were off 3.2%. And housing stocks, if you can believe this, are at the lowest level in 40 years. They were off 18%. And Tokyo property has again fallen 22%. And real inflation is probably about 5.4%. They tell you it's considerably less than that, but they lie like all other governments do. And so this is the kind of thing that's going on throughout the world, and this is what, in part, the Wall Street Journal was referring to. This credit crisis is absolutely nowhere near over.
Well, you know, I saw an interesting article over the weekend. It was commenting that over the last couple of weeks, the stock markets around the world have dropped, and suddenly about $5 trillion of value has just gone from these stock markets. I mean, this was money that people assumed that was there, but it isn't. It's all imaginary. But as the stock markets drop, and you know, 5% to 8%, you know, suddenly you're liquidating something like $5 trillion of money that is suddenly no longer available.
Well, that's right. And, you know, the last time around, we're talking about the correction of the dot-com craze, which was also created by Sir Alan Greenspan. And the value of stocks at the worst point was off $11 trillion. It then normalized at about a minus 9 to 8 trillion. And when all was said and done and evened out, it was about 7 trillion in losses. And it took about 6 or 7 years for these people, if they held on, to get even. And most of them didn't hold on. They took losses for 30 to 70, 80% in some cases. I mean, the drop in the NASDAQ was precipitous. It was unbelievable. And we're going to see that again. And I hate to have to tell you that, but we're going to see it again. And the pension funds, which are plenty of CDOs, they also have probably 5% of their investment in illiquid assets like commercial real estate, and most of them are only 75 to 85% funded. If we have the Dow just move back to the low of 2001, which was 72.86, these pension funds have lost half their money or more.
Sure.
And, you know, the fallout here is going to be giant.
And not only that, but, of course, the inflation superimposed upon the loss of value, it's going to have a devastating effect on those who want to retire.
Well, and are retired as well. Of course, you and I are young retirees.
Right.
I just got a comment from the peanut gallery from my wife of 41 years.
Right.
Did you know that I was a moo?
No, I didn't know you were a moo.
Married only once.
I see. Okay.
But anyway, you know, we're headed for some very, very serious times. And people got to come to grips and listen to what's really going on, not what you see on television and in the media in general, or from the Wall Street Journal or CNBC. Even the Financial Times is fudging it nowadays. And The Economist has always been bad news. They don't tell you the truth, and if they do, it's after everybody knows it. And so you got to put your house in order, and you got to get out of credit card debt and your revolving debt and vehicle debt, because one of you is going to lose your job. And if you see what's going on through the Midwest in particular, maybe you'll get the message. And for those of you who have investable funds, you should be in gold and silver related assets, because we're in the biggest, longest bull market in the history of mankind.
Well, I'll tell you what, silver's certainly looking good. Gold, of course, up to $924, I think, today, $924 an ounce. Platinum was up $56, something like that, today, to about $1,850, $1,860 for an ounce. $1,860.
Well, they sold back a little bit.
Did they? Okay.
We had a close on platinum at $1,942, up $15. Palladium was up $1 at $4.41, and the spot market was $922.60 up $4.40, and silver was $17.43 up 32 cents. And those are the spot markets. We also had a large move today in oil, $1.82 at $93.59, and the USDX was off about 0.06, and I think it should have been off a lot more than that. The stock market was up, Dow was up 58 points. One of the standouts today was the weakness of the dollar versus other currencies. Also, oil. Oil, I think, was helped in part by ExxonMobil getting the international court of whatever it is to allow countries to freeze the assets of Venezuela. And the president of Venezuela said that if you freeze our assets, not one more drop of oil will go to the United States.
Yeah,
now, I think they supply, it's either 8 or 14%, I can't remember which, and that'll cause an awful lot of dislocation. And if that oil is very, very nearby to the United States, so the cost factors are lower. And, of course, Venezuela has plenty of people beating their door down to buy their oil. And so they'll have no problem going to another market. And I would assume they will inform OPEC that you either go to a basket of currencies or we're unilaterally going to do it. And the reason why is we're tired of taking depreciating dollars. And they told them that at the last meeting of OPEC, they and Iran both. And now the producers of OPEC from the Gulf area are now saying that they think they might drop the dollar peg. And incidentally, what Mr. Chavez also said is, look, you keep this up, and we'll start nationalizing all the foreign corporations, including Nestle's and Parmalite. And he said they'll be next. And Nestle's is a Swiss company, and Parmalite is an Italian company. And he'll do it. And so this whole group have bitten off this time more than they can chew. The only alternative the Illuminati has is to find a way to invade the country and kill as many people as possible and take the country over.
You're talking about Venezuela at this point.
That's right.
Right. Well, I think that there's a very real danger that this is going to happen. In fact, really what's so interesting, Chavez is complaining that the American government is selling both cocaine and cheap weapons to the poor people in Venezuela. In other words, we're offering the people in Venezuela it'll be used, if there is a war, to kill our soldiers. Why would we do that? We'll be right back.
As the old saying goes, if you give a man a fish, you feed him for a day. But if you give him a Berkey system, you give him the ability to obtain purified water for a lifetime. This year, when giving Christmas gifts, instead of unwanted trinkets, give a meaningful and substantial gift. Berkey systems are ideal for every member of your family, especially the young ones in college. Unlike other water filtration systems, Berkey purifiers are portable. They require no plumbing, and the elements don't have to be replaced every 4 to 6 months. Perfect for anyone on a tight budget. And more importantly, if there's an unexpected emergency, your loved ones will be prepared. That's because Berkey systems are able to purify raw, untreated water. Check out our Christmas specials at BerkeyWater.com. With one of our quantity specials, you not only get a discount, but in one stop, you can get gifts for the entire family. That's BerkeyWater.com or call 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438.
Ted Anders from Midas, February 11, 2007. Gold, 922.20 ounce gold coins can be purchased for $948.80, $467.30 for half, $233.65 for quarter. That's $948.80, $467.30, and $233.65. Hedge funds cut in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. JP Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast doubt on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rory Boyd published the report, Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Have you made preparations to look after yourself and your family in case there's a national emergency or a terrorist attack? Well, I want to tell you that the government's looking after their people. In fact, plans have been made to protect people of high-ranking position in government, but they're not making any preparations for the average individual, so you're going to have to look after yourself. If you'd like information on long-term food storage, if you'd like information on the other items you would need in case of a national emergency, why don't you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the emergency food catalog. We'll get it right off to you and we'll get the items shipped directly from Ready Reserve Foods. That's 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You're going to have to begin making preparations to look after yourself.
The Healing Formula is an all-natural wound care formula developed mainly for the treatment of pressure sores, also called bed sores. The Healing Formula was developed by a home caregiver with over 30 years' experience. We use the finest ingredients available, including organic aloe vera gel and 35% hydrogen peroxide. The Healing Formula works from the inside out, oxygenating the affected area, stopping the spread of infection, decreasing pain, while promoting healing. The Healing Formula has also proved effective in other areas, such as abrasions, cuts, burns, and rashes. There are over 6,000 peer-published documents on the ingredients in this healing bed sore formula, with not one adverse reaction reported when used properly. The Healing Formula comes with an unconditional money-back guarantee if you are not completely satisfied. We offer a free sample to all nursing homes, home caregivers, nurses, and anyone with a non-healing wound. Please visit our website at healingformula.com or call 800-357-2944. That's 800-357-2944.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and of course our guest is Bob Chapman. We're talking about what's happening financially. Gold is certainly of the highest. It's, I don't ever remember seeing it as high as it is today, and certainly it was a little higher a few days ago, but didn't hold that. Silver is up to the highest it's been since 1980, and certainly we're seeing platinum really going to astronomical levels. And all of this really is a reflection of the destruction of the American dollar. Don't you think that this is playing a large part, that and the inflation and the fact that the whole economic system is beginning to fall apart?
Right. With platinum and palladium, you can also add that 80% of production now comes from South Africa, and they have a ongoing problem with electricity that is not going to be solved for some years. And they say that they can operate at 80 to 90% of capacity with what they have. Skeptical. I've never known the ANC to tell the truth about anything. And so my guess is they might operate from 60 to 80%. And that means less production in platinum and palladium and gold as well. And coal. Coal is a big export in South Africa. You know, the Richards Bay price. And, of course, there's coal mines in Zimbabwe as well, but who knows what they're producing anymore. So anyway, that is part of the reason why platinum and palladium are as strong as they are. Today we also saw a 60-cent, this is highly unusual, a 60-cent increase in wheat prices. That's Minneapolis-based wheat prices, $16.13 a bushel. It wasn't too long ago, perhaps 6-7 months ago, that a bushel was $3.45.50. And once I saw it broke out, I figured it would go to 10. And then when it got there, I figured it would go to 15. And now we're headed towards 20, so that $2.50 a loaf of bread is probably going to cost $7 or $8 ultimately. But what is even worse is that other commodities, softs and beans and grains, are all going up in price. And that means that the people in the third world are not going to be able to eat, and that means a lot of people are going to die of starvation. The Illuminati calls them useless eaters.
And, of course, population control is one of the major objectives of the elite who run the world, and they openly talk about the necessity of killing off, you know, 90% of the world's population. If you doubt that, certainly go to Elberton, Georgia, and see the Georgia Guidestones there. You'll see pictures of that in our sustainable development syllabus. I've been there. They really do intend to kill off most of the world by famine and by war and by disease.
And that includes us.
Amen.
Yeah, they would like to cut the population in half at least. And, you know, Prince Philip was quoted as saying, I'd like to come back as a disease so that I can wipe out, you know, most of mankind. And these people are insane. And, but, you know, that's the way they think.
But they have, they hold the reins of power.
So we have this problem that we have to contend with. And it's all because of, in this case, three factors. Number one, the inflation is created by the Federal Reserve through the increase in money and credit. Secondly, budget deficits by many countries. Thirdly, burgeoning populations in what once were third world countries or becoming second world and first world countries, where diets change and people eat more meat and eat better foods because they can afford to do so. And the last point is that our government has seen fit to subsidize ethanol at 51 cents a gallon, which is disastrous. It's horrible on your vehicle, and it takes more energy to produce it The bottom line is that ethanol is a scam, but the problem is it's taking a lot of corn in the United States out of production, and that's having an effect on all the other agricultural products as farmers switch from one to the other. And what happens is that there's not enough food to go around.
And what a clever thing this is, to begin to use all the corn that should be used to feed people to make ethanol, even though we have to subsidize it, even though it uses more energy. But, of course, if you look at this from the point of view of population control, and you listen to my talk on planned population reduction, it all begins to make sense. We'll be right back.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as trimethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious crystal clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon 222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
This is George Winkers Berry of the Genesis Communications Network. Have you ever wanted the truth about the economy? Crash, Are You Ready? Is the fastest growing program on GCN. Our 1-hour program airs weekdays, Monday through Friday, from 10 to 11 a.m. Central Time, just after the Power Hour and just before Alex Jones. To listen to rebroadcast 24 and 7, visit our website at www.hearitonline.com and click on the appropriate link. Our unparalleled guest lineup has included patriots such as Congressman Ron Paul, Scott Ritter, former UN Chief Weapons Inspector Murray Neal, inventor of the revolutionary dragonskin body armor, and Philip Torme, USS Liberty survivor. We also focus on alternative health and survival topics. Go to www.hearitonline.com. That's HEARITONLINE.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. 1126, or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and about 2 weeks ago, why, of course, the number one story in the financial scene was the story of the derivatives and some of these companies that have written derivatives, in other words, guarantees that the bonds that they were guaranteed would actually be paid by the corporations or by the municipal districts or whoever had actually created the bonds. Certainly the collateralized debts, the mortgage loans, would be included in that. And then we heard about ACA, and then we heard about MBIA, and we heard about AMBAG, and of course AMBAC, and certainly all of these derivative markers, writers, and then almost as if somebody turned the switch, we're not hearing about them anymore. Although, last thing we heard, a lot of them were on the verge of collapse, and with that, of course, would be the collapse of the value of those bonds, and they'd have to be sold at a fire sale price by many of the pension holders and hedge funds and other people who are holding them. What's happening as far as the derivatives are concerned, Bob?
Well, I just picked up on a piece today, and it's in for typing right now, but the corporate bonds in the United States, the swaps, which are derivative insurance, continue to go up in cost. And the same thing is happening in Europe, even among investment grade, which is, you know, AAA, AA type of paper. And so, as I said earlier on in the program, there's a major problem in this credit crisis, And it's not getting better. It's getting worse. And you haven't heard about them because, and Lecocking, AMBAC, MBIA, and ACA, and so on. We're talking about the ones, the companies that insured municipal bonds and CDOs and ABSs, which are very speculative. And that rating that they have, AAA, those insurers, was transferred to the paper itself. Now, the paper wasn't originally AAA. It was something below that. In many instances, BBB, which is junk. But they got the rating from the insurers who had never had a problem. And the problem occurred. And I think that the people who have those types of bonds, both categories we'll call them, I think that they no longer have insurance eventually. You know, how do you insure $1 trillion with $5 billion in assets? I mean, give me a break. The whole thing was a scam in the first place. And they just not thought they ever would get caught in this position or this situation. And they get caught because a woman analyst, Meredith Whitney, who specializes in banks, she said that Citicorp had some serious problems. And when that happened, the whole house came tumbling down and nobody expected it. It was one of those untoward events that I've talked about from time to time over the years in your show that nobody ever expects. And then all of a sudden, you know, bingo, what happens?
Well, of course, the thing is that these derivatives, as Warren Buffett has said, are simply, you know, financial weapons of mass destruction. And he said some years ago they're currently latent but potentially lethal. And what he meant was they could bring down the whole financial system. And because, of course, you've got all these bonds out there. They're supposedly a legitimate credit, a legitimate payment on them. And suddenly we find out the people who are insuring to make sure it's going to happen don't have any money. And one day we're going to wake up and find that all of these financial institutions are simply no longer solvent. They're depending on these bonds that they have for solvency, and the bonds aren't worth very much of anything. So we're already on the edge of something even much larger. A lot of people say, well, this is just going to be very temporary. What are your thoughts on that, Bob?
Well, there's no such thing as temporary in this one. They're in the box, and they can't get out, both here in Europe, Canada. And they're the worst ones out, but the rest of the world's going to suffer too. They certainly are not going to get away scot-free. People who export to the United States, like China and Japan, are going to get wrecked. And Japan is already getting hit hard. And when the U.S. market is cut off, and Chinese goods are continuing to go up in cost, which makes them less attractive and makes that more inflationary to our economy. And, of course, the American dollar is exporting inflation all over the world, and that's a problem as well, but not one for the United States. And, you know, you have all these cross things going on. It's irretrievable. That's why I keep on telling people there's no way out. And for you to sit around and think that there is a way out, you're wrong. And you, if you've got any assets at all, you've got to have them in gold and silver-related assets. If you don't, you're going to lose a lot of money.
Well, certainly the silver...
Eventually, just like in the Depression, homes, businesses, cars, anything will go down 60 to 90% in value. Gold won't.
Well, you know, certainly the gold and silver stocks, at least most of them right at the present time, aren't doing very much. Certainly they've made a good run up here in the last few years, and they've been sort of latent here, sort of, just sort of sitting there for some period, matter of some months now. What do you think is going to happen? Do you think they're going to take off one of these days?
Oh, yes. Absolutely. First it'll be we'll just take Agnico Eagle. It closed at 64.25, which I think is a new record today. And it came from $4 in June of 2000. And we recommended that everybody buy that, and of course those who did are very happy. The stock right now, what should it be selling for? Based upon what I know about all the bull markets in gold and silver since 1960, I would say a fair price would probably be $150 a share.
Okay.
And were not our government manipulating our markets, that's where it would be.
Well, certainly, I think the average individual really doesn't understand that everything is an illusion. Now, the government has the plunge protection team out there, the working group on financial assets, is actually manipulating the market. It's against the law. It was never designed to, to be used routinely. It was only to prevent a major crisis, and yet, once they have the authority, they'll certainly misuse it, and as a result, why nobody can really tell what stocks are worth, because they're all being manipulated by the Working Group on Financial Assets, sir.
Wait till the public finds out what's been done to them. Now, they're going to take these people out and hang them.
Well, certainly I think that these people should stand before the bar of justice. They should have to follow the same laws as the rest of us, but it appears that some people are more equal than others.
Well, that's certainly true in our society. The Illuminists get away with anything they want, and if they get caught doing something, they pay a fine and walk away. And, the other people who get caught doing anything wrong do 5 to 10. And that's not right. It's always been uneven, but now it's even worse than it's ever been.
Well, I think that we're in for some very, very real problems. And, Chris, mainly the matter of the solvency of the banking system. There have been some rumors out there, maybe you can clarify this, that the FDIC has been putting out directives on what they're going to do with bank failures. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, that's true. And they're lying. What they'll do is they'll take the small banks and have them be absorbed by the larger banks, and they'll subsidize the larger banks. So when they get through, they'll, have 10 or 20 or 30 banks in the country, and that's it. And people will get paid, and they'll just print the money to pay it. It's just as simple as that. And they print it out of thin air, as we all know anyway. And they're going to continue to have to do that because of the state that things are in.
I think it was
and
so
it's going to get much better before it gets worse. And they're talking about prompt payment of money. Listen, they can pay people off what there is in their account on a quarterly or semi-annual or annual basis, and they can spread it over years if they want. They can do anything they please, but they're not going to put it on their site, I'll tell you that.
Well, it was very interesting. 60 Minutes yesterday had a program on the penny. And the fact that maybe we ought to just do away with a penny. It costs 2 cents to mint a penny, and really it really isn't worthwhile. Nothing was talked about inflation. Well, they mentioned the word one time very casually, and everybody was agreeing that we ought to do away with a penny because it costs 2 cents to make a penny or to mint a penny. But the great tragedy is, of course, the reason that it costs that much is because of inflation, and they've driven the price of the metals up, and they wouldn't even make the pennies out of copper anymore. They couldn't afford to. Why? Because copper is much more expensive, and it's the old thing of Gresham's Law. Good money drives bad money out, and the bad money is the current coinage that we have, and certainly the current paper money that we have. And one time our money was minted in silver, and it had intrinsic value. That's no longer the case.
Well, you're right, and that started evolving in 1964-65, and we ended up with Quad. First it was 90%, and then it was 40 or 50%, and then it was nothing.
You're talking about silver, 90% silver, 40% silver, and then coins that had no intrinsic value, but now these coins are actually, the nickel, it costs them 10 cents to make a nickel, simply because the metal has gone up so much because of the inflation that the government has produced, because inflation has nothing to do with rising prices. It has to do with increasing the money supply, and they're frantically increasing the money supply. They're frantically increasing the debt. They're frantically working to destroy the value of everything the American people and people throughout the world have as we move to impoverish the people and, of course, certainly make the people of wealth even more wealthy. Well, Bob, Do you think are people moving into gold and silver now? Do you think that the ideas are coming around, or do you think most people will just sit back and wait and wait and wait?
They are. It's slow, but they'll catch on. And in time, you know, there'll be the rush that there always is. We'll probably see people come in a big way starting after $2,000 an ounce, and it'll carry into a mania stage where gold goes to $6,000 or $8,000 an ounce. I know it sounds crazy, but that's just the way markets are.
Sure.
And you saw what happened to the dot-com boom and then collapse. I don't think you'll get a collapse of gold, but what you will get is a correction into normality, if you may.
All right. Now, certainly we hear rumors that China and Russia and some of the other countries are actively buying gold, the Arab countries. Is that true?
Yes, they are, both aggressively. I think that Russia has been taking off the production domestically, and they've been buying in the market as well. But China's been buying, too. And you have a tremendous amount of buying coming out of the Middle East. And of course, the perennial buyer is India, which has slowed down a bit. And I thought it would have slowed down a lot earlier, but it, right about now it's been a little bit slower than it was before. In the United States and Canada and Europe, there's a lot of people starting to look. There's a lot of people buying small amounts of both physical gold and coins as well as shares. But that'll pick up, and as they realize that they've got to get fleeced out of everything they've got. And, you know, that's borne out by the attitude towards people with AAA credit ratings who are walking away from homes that are now negative in equity, and they're just not going to stand for it.
Well,
it's going to exacerbate the housing situation something tremendously.
I'm sure it will. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. If you have a question for Bob, why give us a call? We have a few more minutes. We'd be glad to take that. And I think it's so important that people begin making the preparations for the very, very difficult financial times that lie ahead. And more people are facing layoffs. More and more of our corporations are either moving overseas or I just frankly cannot be competitive in the modern day market. And I know it's only a matter of time before more and more people will be unemployed. And then, of course, how are they going to make the payments on their homes? And those homes are going to go on the market and drive the price of housing down. And I see, I watch very carefully at a local trailer mobile home park. And, you know, they've had seven signs up for places for sale for months, 3 months or so, and now there are a couple of more signs putting up, but nothing is selling. And they're just going to have to drop the price if they want to move them. And the idea that, well, I'm just going to wait till somebody pays my price, that's fine, but what happens if people won't pay your price? That's the problem.
Well, it's going to get a lot worse. We're at the beginning of the beginning. This is going to last a minimum downside for 5 years. And it might go flat and stay flat for another 5 years or more after that. This could be a 20-year flattening out of real estate prices. And nobody really knows, but it has the potential for that. Would you like me to give my information?
Oh, you go right ahead. I'm sorry, Bob. I got so involved with talking to you that I forgot that we
were
going to get your address.
Well, I'm glad you did, because I like it when you come up with all of your gems of wisdom.
Anyway,
the International Forecaster is published twice a week by email, and it's about 30 pages each time. And we have a hard copy that goes out twice a month. And it's about business, finance, economics, and social and political issues all over the world. If you'd like to go to our site at the Internet, that address is theinternationalforecaster.com. The International, F-O-R-E-C-A-S-T-E-R.com. If you'd like to send us an email, that address is international_forecaster@yahoo.com. international_forecaster@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to call toll-free and get a free introductory copy, you can off the site as well. That number is 800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188.
All right, fine. And it's a really a fascinating, fascinating read. I get it twice a week, and as soon as I can, I just sit down and read through all 28 pages. So much great information. But, ladies and gentlemen, the only people who are going to survive the coming period of economic crisis and turmoil are those who understand what's happening and are taking defensive action now. Our guest has been Bob Chapman from the International Forecaster. He's with us every Monday afternoon at this time, and we look forward to having you again next week, Bob.
Well, thank you very much, and have a good evening.
You bye-bye. God bless.
Bye-bye.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout. Developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a 4-tape or a 4-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
It's a fact. Since the creation of the Federal Reserve in 1913, all banks in these United States create money out of thin air for every single loan they issue. With never-ending late fees, over-the-limit fees, and higher interest rates, it has become mathematically impossible to repay all debt, making all of us slaves to our creditors. The Federal Debt Relief System has created a successful attorney-backed program to legally eliminate credit card debt, personal loans, lines of credit, and other unsecured debts which have been fraudulently created by the banks. We can terminate your unsecured debt within 18 months with a much lower monthly payment, ending with nothing on your credit report. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe with a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their debt. Instead of living each day in fear and frustration, it's time to take action and turn your life around. Call the Federal Debt Relief System at 877-943-8600. That's 877-943-8600. Or visit FDRS.org. Find out how you can break the cycle of debt slavery. Visit FDRS.org today.
Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and I just hope our listeners are out there making preparations for the difficult times that lie ahead. If you'd like to know more about what's going on, we have two pamphlets, inexpensive, at $3.95 each plus shipping. One of them is called The Financial Meltdown. The other is called The History of Money. And we think that they're an excellent source of information. You need to understand what's going on. But probably one of the best overviews of what's going on is my talk. It's available on DVD or video, Financial Tsunami. That's Financial Tsunami. And we recommend that people get the syllabus that goes with that. We'll give you tremendous insight into exactly what's going on. And then, of course, the book, Preacher from Jekyll Island. You can order it, but it may be a month or two before we can provide it, at least a month. It is actually out of print, but I've been promised that when the first shipment comes in, we'll have access to those. That's the Creature from Jekyll Island. We were selling, well, about 20 of those a week, at least 20 a week. And simply, they're just out of print now. And then, of course, we do have in stock the book, Federal Reserve Conspiracy by Professor Sutton, The Federal Reserve Conspiracy. And then, of course, we have a book, The Fiat Money Inflation in France. We have a four-tape set on the Financial Armageddon. The Financial Armageddon, we recommend you get this information, you learn everything you can about the monetary system, and then, of course, listen every Monday afternoon at this time when we'll have Bob Chapin on to bring you up to date with what's going on. And we think that certainly what is happening is not by accident, but by mistake. But by intent, I should say. It's not by mistake, it's by intent. They know exactly what they're doing, as you'll find when you read my pamphlets on the financial meltdown. And when they said they had no idea these things were coming down, they were warned back in the year 2000 what was going to happen, and they simply lied about it. You'll be fascinated by the little pamphlet on the financial meltdown, which is a compilation of five of my newsletters, or you can go up on the internet and pull them down for nothing, August, September, October, November of the year 2007. And that's the Radio Liberty newsletter. And then, of course, we do hope that many of you out there will certainly want to get the material we have on weather modification. We hear about, there's all sorts of problems with the weather, and it's contributing to the shortage of wheat, and that's true. But they have the ability to change and modify the weather. We have a great DVD put out by a good friend, Bob Fletcher, on weather modification. We have a four-tape set or four-CD set on weather modification. We have a book on weather modification. We have another four-tape set on HARP and a four-CD set on a book entitled HARP, the Ultimate Weapon, because, of course, HARP is a means of heating up the ionosphere, and with that you can change the jet stream. You have to understand that they do not want you to know that they can change the weather, and they're using it, of course, to create droughts and famines, and they know how to do this. If you doubt that, you go back and read Zygmunt Bzezinski's book, written in 1970, Between Two Ages, where he tells you, in the future we're going to be able to create storms and droughts, storms and droughts and new chronic diseases, and my goodness, we've got all sorts of new chronic diseases like Lyme disease and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and AIDS and Ebola. And if you want to know more about that, you really need to get the book we carry, written by one of the country's most eminent scientists, Professor Garth Nicholson, Project Daylily. Project Daylily. We do carry the book. It will give you tremendous insight to what's going on. We also carry the book, Emerging Viruses, going into the government operation to create these new diseases. If you don't believe they intended to create a new disease as a means of a mass extermination, we actually have the complete text of Dr. MacArthur's testimony, David MacArthur, back in 1969. You need to get the National Security Study Memorandum 200. That's NSSM 200. It's available through Radio Liberty. And, of course, it's the government plan for population control throughout the world, available at Radio Liberty. 1-800-5-HIV. More.
Now you can upgrade your existing gravity filter to remove chemicals such as triomethylenes, atrazine, benzene, chlorine, chloroform, and MTBE to below detectable limits. Black Berkey elements are so powerful, they remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and transform water, even raw, stagnant pond water, into delicious, crystal-clear drinking water. Nitrates, nitrites, radon-222, unwanted heavy metals like lead, mercury, and aluminum are no problem. Foul tastes like chlorine and obnoxious sulfur odors are removed. move without removing the healthful and beneficial minerals that your body needs. Black Berkey elements flow 1.5 to 2 times faster than ordinary gravity elements, which means it takes much less time to filter your water. Supercharge your gravity filter today. Upgrade to Black Berkey purification elements.
Get a 2-pack, only $99, or a 4-pack, only $188. Call New Millennium, 888-80.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, and hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king, but the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of a Pastor John Weaver, who's written a fascinating book, The Christian and Civil Government. The Christian and Civil Government, and, of course, it's really talking about Romans 13, and, of course, where we're told that all governments, all civil governments are created by God, and we're to be subservient to them. And that is, of course, being used by our government today. It was used by Adolf Hitler. And back in Adolf Hitler's time, why, of course, they encouraged the ministers to tell the people that they had to be subservient to Adolf Hitler. And they were, because the ministers told them to. And, of course, most of the ministers were on a government salary. Well, they're doing the same thing today. And ministers are being told that if there's a national emergency, they're to preach Romans 13. But what does Romans 13 really mean? Does it mean that we should be subservient to a government like Adolf Hitler that's killing Jews and waging aggressive war and killing millions of people? Is that what Romans 13 means? Well, that's why I want you to hear what Pastor John Weaver has to say. Pastor Weaver, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a joy to be with you again.
All right, fine. Well, please just go ahead and pick up the story here.
Well, Romans 13 is indeed a very wonderful chapter, and unhappily it's a chapter in the Bible that most people have never understood, and certainly they do not know the application of it. Our forefathers certainly understood it. In fact, there are three books that were exceedingly vital to the founding of this country. And those three books are, first of all, Lex Rex, which means the law is king, written by Samuel Rutherford in 1640, and then Vindicae Contra Tyrannis, which was written by Hubert Languay in the 1600s, some even say the 1400s. The copy I have is from 1689. And then the third view, the third book was A View of the Christian Magistrate by Thomas Cobbett, which was written in 1653. All three of these books were just full of scripture explaining Romans 13, the entire Bible, and our founding fathers used these books, they knew them, and that is why they gave us what they did when the country was set up. So Romans chapter 13 is indeed an exceedingly important chapter. And when it's understood, it very obviously does not teach that we are to be in submission to all laws and rules and regulations that just simply go down the pipe from any bureaucracy that comes along. Let me begin by just simply telling you that God is the one who instituted and ordained government. And certainly in Romans 13, verse 1, the Bible tells us that the powers that be are ordained of God. So since God is the creator, since God is the ordainer and institutor of government, it simply means this, that government therefore is limited by him, it is answerable and accountable to him, he is the one that sets it up. In fact, the Bible tells us very plainly in Psalm 75 that promotion cometh neither from the east nor the west nor the south, but God is the judge, he putteth up one and he taketh down another. And then, of course, in Proverbs 80, says, thereby me kings rule and princes decree justice. And, of course, in Daniel 2 and Daniel 4, once again, he gives an illustration of how he does put up kings and take down kings. I'm just simply saying this to once again emphasize that government, the one that God ordained, is always limited. It is answerable, it is responsible, and it is accountable to him primarily, and of course to the people secondarily. So there are some very important terms that are given to us in Romans chapter 13.
Hold that thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment with Pastor John Weaver. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Pastor John Weaver. And we're going to be talking about a book he's written, The Christian and Civil Government. And it's referring to Romans 13. Now, most Christians in this country have never been told that Adolf Hitler used this Romans 13, a verse very, very effectively to neutralize the good Christian people of Germany and to bring them into line with his government. And the ministers were ordered, they were told, to go ahead and preach Romans 13, and tragically, this has been done within our seminaries here. And all it is simply saying blind obedience to government. Actually, the Office of Homeland Security has called in certain of the ministers and told them, in case of a national emergency, they are to preach Romans 13 to bring everybody under the control of the civil government. But what happens when we have a corrupt civil government? And what happens when, as here in California, where, of course, we're told we have to send our children to school, but their morals are destroyed with sex education. The children are being told we will not use the term mother and father now, because that, of course, is sexist. And, I mean, after all, that certainly would hurt the feelings of a homosexual couple. And then, of course, we are now, of course, they're starting at age five. A five-year-old in kindergarten to indoctrinate our children how normal homosexuality is. And I think that people have to understand that this is certainly not the sort of godly government that is described in Romans 13. So, Pastor Weaver, please feel free to go ahead and repeat a little of what you said, because right now the people here did not hear your previous remarks.
Okay, I was just simply pointing out the fact in Romans chapter 13 that God is the one who instituted all government. So that would include family government as well as ecclesiastical and civil government. The powers that be are ordained of God. Since God is the ordainer and the institutor of government, it means, therefore, that government is limited, answerable, responsible, and accountable to him. He's the one that sets the boundaries. And so he is the one that tells us what government may and may not do. As you look at Romans 13, if you just simply took the words and understood them, or the terms that describe the civil rulers, he would certainly abolish the idea that government is God and that government can do whatever it wants to do. For instance, first of all, the civil ruler is referred to as a power or higher power in verse 1, and the Greek word there is exousia, which just simply means jurisdiction or power. We have no problem with that. In verse 2, they're called the ordinance of God. We certainly have no problem with that. We know God ordained civil government. In verse 3, they're called rulers.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we have with us Pastor John Weaver, his book, The Christian and Civil Government, talking about Romans 13. And this idea that we are subservient to civil government, and yet what happens when civil government is not subservient to God? Because, of course, if you read Romans 13, it presupposes that, you know, God created civil government, and then, of course, the civil government would, be answerable to God first. Otherwise, of course, we're answerable to civil government, and it takes the place of God, and of course, God was to be sovereign over everything, and our founding fathers realized that. And in the books Lex Rex and the other books that are described here, written in the 1600s, which were familiar to the founding fathers of this country, they realized how important it was to have godly people in positions of power. Men who believed in God, men who feared God, and of course would follow his commandments. But when you get a government that does not fear God and is going to do anything they want to and authorize any sort of absurdities, the press of the people, are we to be subservient to that? And of course, Pastor Weaver points out so well in his book, time after time after time, we see where the children of Israel, of course, were called to take a stand against their governments, and when they didn't, why, of course, they were severely punished for this. And other times they were called to take a stand against their governments, and they did. And they were rewarded for it when the government had been corrupt and the rulers were no longer responsible to God's commandments. So you pick the story up there, Pastor.
Okay, I was just pointing out the terms or the titles that were given to the civil rulers there in Romans 13. They're called, of course, powers. They're called ordinance. They're called rulers. We have no problem with that. But when you get to verse 4, the Bible says that they're the ministers of God. In fact, twice in verse 4 they're called ministers. The interesting thing is the Greek word for ministers there is the word diakonos. It's where we get our English word deacon, which literally means servant. So the Bible says then that the civil rulers are to be the servants of God. Then in verse 4 they're also called a revenger. The word revenger in the Greek is ek dikaos. Ek is a preposition which out of, and dikaos is the word for righteousness. So the word revenger actually means one who exacts righteousness. Now look at this. In verse 4, they're called the servants of God, and they're also called the ones who are to exact righteousness, which would be God's righteousness. And then you skip down to verse 6, and there again they're called ministers, but this time it's the Greek word liturgos. It's where we get our English word liturgy from, which is a form of public worship. Now, the point I'm trying to make is very simple. Everyone is willing to say that government is power and God ordained it and that we have rulers, yes. But the Bible doesn't stop there in Romans 13. The Bible also tells us those civil rulers, the kind that God ordained, are to be God's servants, God's exactors of righteousness, and His public worship. God instituted them to apply His law and to rule according to His righteousness, and not simply do what they want to do. So if they're a deacon, if they're a servant, who must they serve? If they exact righteousness, whose righteousness must they exact? So the point I'm trying to make is this thing about all government is ordained of God. No, not in the sense that God has never instituted a totalitarian or tyrannical government. He instituted government for the protection of the people and for the punishment of wicked doers, and He did not institute government for tyrants and dictators. Now, the point I want to make is this. Since God ordained government, you cannot separate government and religion. Now, let me clarify that. That does not mean that you must have a state church. I didn't say that. You may separate government and churches. We don't have to have a state church like the Baptist Church or the Presbyterian Church or the Anglican Church, but you cannot separate government and religion. All government is religious. It will either be the Christian religion or at least some pagan religion, but it's religious. And the reason being is because behind every law is a judgment of whether that law is good or evil, right or wrong. And everyone determines good and evil, right and wrong, according to their own religious precepts. So it's either good and evil, right and wrong, according to the Christian Bible, or it's good or evil, right and wrong, according to pagan religion. So all government is basically religious.
And I think that's really such an important point, because if it goes back to history, why, of course, you know, the Pharaoh had his priests and his prophets, and you go into the tribal areas of Africa. There's always a witch doctor or a medicine man, and you go into Asia. There was always a shaman or a shaman who actually authorized what the ruler was doing. Certainly in Europe, why, you had the Catholic Church authorizing the kings, and the kings authorizing the Catholic Church, and of course working together to control the people and control the masses. But this has been true since the beginning of time. There has always been this combination of ruler and religious individual, whether it was Christian or, as you say, Muslim or Buddhist or Hindu or Baha'i or something of the sort, but there always has to be some sort of a religious form behind the government. But here in America, of course, we were given a republic, not a democracy. We were given a form of limited and godly government, where, of course, laws were based upon God's law and the Bible. And that's all been forgotten and is never taught in our schools today. In fact, most people mistakenly believe that we're a democracy simply because the president says so and the senators say so, and the schools say so, and the universities say so, and yet you can read the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence, and the Federalist Papers, and never once see use of the word democracy other than to decry it and say the last thing we want is democracy. Oh, so we've lost the form of government, of godly government that God led, that God gave us. Maybe we ought to reclaim God's government.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly right. And so really what it boils down to is we're either going to have a Christian government or we're going to have a pagan government.
Right.
But we're going to have one or the other. And you know, when you read Romans 13, verses 1 and 2, in light of what I just told you, the subjection that God demands in Romans 13, the subjection of obedience that he demands in verses 1 and 2, is conditioned upon the authorities being what he's labeled them to be in verse 3, 4, and 6. In other words, they're to be his deacons, his exactor of righteousness, and his public worship. So when you look at this thing, you've got to understand that God has basically ordained only three institutions. Stop and think about this. He's ordained the family, which is the ministry of education, the church, which is a ministry of grace, and civil government, which is a ministry of justice. And each one of those, he limits the sphere of authority. So, for instance, suppose I came into your home, and I look around, and I see some dishes are not washed, and some clothes are not ironed, and maybe the floor is dirty, and I say, well, you know, I've taken this all I can take, and I look at your wife and say, get up and wash those dishes and wash those clothes and sweep this floor. Do it right now. Now, is the average husband going to sit back and say, not a way to go, preacher. Go ahead. Tell her what to do. No, the average husband's going to say, wait a minute. That's my wife. And if anybody tells her what to do, it'll be me. But I object and I say, but you don't understand. I'm a husband and I'm a father and I've got husbandly and fatherly authority. And then they would say, yes, you do in your home, but not in this home. In this home, I'm the head of the house. Now, the point I'm trying to make is this. God has given each sphere of authority to each one of these institutions. And when we step out of our sphere of authority, we don't carry that authority with us. So the government, the civil government, has the authority to execute God's justice. But it does not have the authority to provide welfare and education and grace. Those are the responsibilities of the family and the church. So very obviously, if you understand sphere authority, it really makes it very simple and very easy, because that way when people try to say, well, it's your duty therefore then to submit to all government regardless of what they're doing, no, that's not true. Because their authority is limited. It is not an all-inclusive authority. God is the only one who has unlimited authority.
And I think that's really such an important point. And that is when the civil authority is no longer answerable to God and has been totally corrupt, as it is throughout so much of California today, and you see the things that are coming out, where our schools are to be used to indoctrinate our children in immorality, somebody's got to stand up and say, we're not going to put up with this.
Yes, sir. The fact of the matter is, you see, we are ignorant as a people concerning not only our history, our heritage, the Bible, the Constitution. And since we don't know that there are limitations upon government, we just assume, and to use the modern-day quote, they can do whatever they want to do. But the truth is, they cannot. Neither historically, neither biblically, nor constitutionally.
And you know, I think it's so interesting, Pastor Weaver, that in every one of the constitutions of the 50 sovereign states of this country, there's mention of the word God, and that the authority comes from God. And yet, isn't it right, amazing? We can't mention that in schools. Our children can't be taught that. I mean, why? Well, because, of course, the people in positions of control, you know, really hate God, and this is really a revolt against God, and many of those people are in key positions in government today.
Yeah, and it's just like someone has amply pointed out that you can't even give a Bible out in school today before they let you have it in prison. I mean,
maybe we have a lot.
Of...
Maybe we'd have a lot fewer people in prison, of course, if we were bringing up our children to fear the Lord. But even in our churches today, they don't train people, teach them to fear the Lord. Oh, no, we've changed the very essence of God. And he loves everybody. And, of course, he's a God of love, but he's also a God of justice and judgment. And isn't it a shame we don't teach that in schools? In fact, if you study the Old Testament, he's also a God of vengeance. And people say, I don't like that God. Well, you're not called to like him. You're called to obey him. And when you put yourself up as a judge of God, you're in real trouble. We'll be right back with Pastor John Weaver. Well, Pastor Weaver, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, let me just point out another very important point concerning government. And a lot of people do not grasp this, but government is always covenantal in nature. In fact, as you study the Bible, you'll find, like in 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17, actually there are two types of covenants. There was one between God, the king, and the people, and then one between the king and the people. In the one between God, the king, and the people, the king agreed to be God's king, and the people agreed to be God's people. In the covenant between the king and the people, the king agreed to rule faithfully, and the people agreed to obey him as long as he did. You'll also find this same covenant that's talked about in 2 Chronicles 23. The interesting thing is, everybody understands how that David was chosen to be king by God. But what many people do not know is in 2 Samuel chapter 5 and 1 Chronicles chapter 11, the elders of the people came and they entered into a covenant with David. So, although God chose David to be king, he did it immediately through the will of the people, which means, therefore, that the civil ruler is not only answerable and accountable to God, but he's also answerable and accountable to the people. Now, let me just very quickly cover something that I think is very important. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we're commanded that we're to pray for those who are in authority. And the Bible tells us that we're to pray for kings and for all of these people in authority. But most people don't understand why we're to pray for them. They say, well, we're to pray for them so they'll be converted. Well, the truth of the matter is, if they're not already converted, they have no business being up in the office anyhow. Because according to Deuteronomy 17 and other passages of Scripture, you can only have a brother to rule over you. But the Bible says that we are to pray for kings and for all that are in authority. And here's why in verse 2, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. In other words, we pray for them, not for their benefit, but for our benefit, that they would leave us alone, that we may do what God has called us to do. So very obviously, when we pray for them, we're supposed to pray that they will just basically let us alone, that we can go about our business and do our thing. Now, in biblical covenant, when one party violates the covenant or breaks the covenant, then it looses the other party from obedience. Now, we understand this because it's not only applicable in our daily life, but it was true in the Bible. For instance, in Joshua chapter 2, the spies there entered into a covenant with Rahab. And after they gave the stipulations of the covenant, they gave a final stipulation, and they said, if you utter any of this our business, then we will be quit of the oath which you made us swear. And she said, so be it. So here's what they said. If you violate your end of the covenant, we don't have to keep our end of the covenant. The same thing is true in 2 Kings 17. God entered into a covenant with Israel. He told them, if you obey me, I'll bless you. If you disobey me, I'll curse you. Well, what did Israel do? She disobeyed. She went into idolatry and wickedness. What did God do? God cursed them and sent them into captivity.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back, Pastor. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly Pastor Weaver was talking about how time and time again, God, of course, gave the children of Israel the choice here, to do what's right and follow my commandments, or there will be consequences. And time and time again, the children of Israel turned to idolatry, and then, of course, there were terrible repercussions and terrible punishment upon their communities. And I fear that this is what's going to happen to America. We had the most ideal type of government for 150 years, and then the evil people really began to erode it and change this from a republic to a democracy, and began to centralize power, and began to fight international wars, and began to tax the people so they could build up a massive military, the largest military anywhere in the world. And the United States spends more money on its military than all the rest of the world put together. And, of course, we have our military bases all throughout the world. And if you don't think that, if some ruler around the world gets out of line, we either replace him one way or another. And if we can't replace him legitimately by elections, why, then, of course, we send in the assassins and the jackals. And how could we support, how can Christians support this? And yet, this is not the America that God gave us. God gave us a government that was limited, where we were told not to interfere with other nations. We wanted, of course, people to be free here. But, of course, there are people who had a different agenda, a different dream. And, of course, because they worshipped a different God, and they've taken control of the reins of our government. And now they're telling us we have to be obedient, because, after all, if we do not honor what it says in Romans 13, we dishonor God. And I don't believe that's true at all. Pastor, aren't there many, many examples in the Bible about godly people disobeying government?
Yes, sir, there are. Let me just finish this one thought, though. I want to get to that, but what this covenantal nature of government is very important, because this is how our country got founded, because there was a covenant between George III and all of the colonies. The colonies were never under Parliament. They had their own constitution, and they had this charter with King George III. George III was king of Georgia, South Carolina, Virginia, king of all the 13 colonies. Then they wrote the Fairfax Resolves, begging him, pleading with him, to keep his end of the covenant. And when Parliament then tried to pass all of these laws, and they said, no, we're not going to obey these laws because we're not under Parliament. Parliament has no right to pass laws for us. And so this country then basically was formed out of this violation of a covenantal principle. And so we then entered into a covenantal agreement, we the states and we the people, with the government through the Constitution of the United States. And interestingly enough, once again, our agreement is being violated, not by necessarily we the people, but by the government, once again, that this is what we're going to do. So very obviously, the covenantal nature of government is very important. But yes, there are numerous instances of people disobeying their civil ruler, and did so with the blessing of God. For instance, I get tickled every time I talk about Romans 13, because someone says, well, there it is in black and white. The Apostle Paul said, the powers that be ordained of God, obey those powers. We've got to submit. And then when they tell me that, I said, well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the books of Colossians and Philemon and Philippians and Ephesians? Well, yes, we've read those. But what's that group of books referred to as? And they think for a minute and said, you know, I think they're called the prison epistles. Well, yes, they're called the prison epistles. Do you know why they're called the prison epistles? Yes, because Paul was in prison when he wrote them. Well, why was Paul in prison? And the answer is because he was not kowtowing to the rulers, and they were angry, and they threw him into prison. So very obviously, when Paul wrote Romans 13, when he says, obey the powers that be, he was not talking about a blind submission and an unlimited submission, because when Paul wrote that, very obviously, he did not to obey them in every area himself. That's how he ended up in prison. And so you find all throughout the Bible, Elijah, for instance, in 1 Kings chapter 18, he disobeyed the king. In fact, God kind of hit him. Don't you remember how Ahab sent spies out and in foreign countries and once again took oaths of those countries that if they found Elijah, they'd turn him in. But Elijah knew that Ahab was looking for him, and he still would not submit to the king. Why? The king was a reprobate, and he was trying to murder Elijah.
Right. In the same way that Saul was trying to murder David. David actually went and hid. You know, if it had been
exactly right.
Following Romans 13, he would have turned himself in and been decapitated.
Yeah.
But, of course, the thing is that, you know, people sometimes become so earthly, so heavenly-minded, they become no earthly good. We're going to be back in just a moment. We've got to think about what the Scriptures say and not accept things on blind faith. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Pastor John Weaver, and we're talking about his book, The Christian and Civil Government. And, of course, it's a treatise on Romans 13. So, Pastor, you pick up the story from there.
Okay, we were just talking about those individuals who kind of resisted their civil rulers and the civil government with the blessings of God. And just mentioned Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 18. But Elijah did so again in 2 Kings chapter 1. And there was a king there by the name of Ahaziah, and he had gotten sick, and he sent word to inquire of a false god, Baalzebub, the god of Ekron. And Elijah stepped in the way and said, "You go back and tell the men that he's going to die, and you tell the king he's going to die because God's not going to heal him because he's seeking the false gods." And so the king got angry and sent a captain with 50 people after him. And the captain said, "O thou man of God, make haste and come down." And Elijah said, "If I'm a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it did. Then another captain came, and once again he said, O man of God, the king says, get down here now. He said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And it did. Finally, the third captain went up and said, let my life be precious in thy sight. Now, the point I'm trying to make is simple. It is this. Here Elijah was refusing to obey the king. And God was assisting him because it was God who was sending fire down from heaven. So very obviously, if God had not agreed with what Elijah was doing, there would not have been a barbecue that day. But God sent the fire from heaven. So Elijah then once again resisted the civil ruler, and he did so with the help and the blessing of God. When you get to Exodus chapter 1, here was those midwives, Shiphrah and Puah, and the king had commanded them, once again, if they would put to death every male baby. And they refused. They didn't do it. And when the king asked them why they hadn't done it, they said, well, listen, the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. They're lively and they're delivered before we ever get there. You mean to tell me out of all the Hebrew women in Egypt, not one ever needed any help being with a delivery? And so they very obviously not only lied to, but they resisted the king. And the Bible says, because of this, God built them houses. He made them houses. So here are people resisting a civil ruler with God's blessing.
Hold that thought. We're going to be back here in just a moment with Pastor John Weaver. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest today is Pastor John Weaver. His book is The Christian and Civil Government, Romans 13. And can you tell our listeners, first of all, how they can get the book, how they can actually get in touch with your ministry?
Sure. First of all, you can write me at P.O. Box 394, P.O. Box 394, Fitzgerald, F-I-T-Z-G-E-R-A-L-D, Fitzgerald, Georgia, 31750. That's Freedom Baptist Church, or John Weaver, at P.O. Box 394, Fitzgerald, Georgia, 31750. That is one way, and another way is just give me a call. I'll be glad, and the number's 229-423-4366.
All right, very good. Well, it's a fascinating book. It's got a lot of biblical history, a lot of American history in that. So Suddenly, you just go ahead and sort of develop this idea, because there's so many examples in the Bible of people defying the ruler. Certainly, we know that Daniel defied the ruler. That's what, and his other young Jewish people did. That's why they threw him into the fiery furnace. And, sure. Of course, did they do the wrong thing?
Sure. No, they didn't do the wrong thing. In other words, they did right in resisting the king, because the king wanted them to commit idolatry. And they said, no, we are not going to bow down. And clearly they said, be it known unto you, our God can deliver us. In other words, whether he delivered them or not, the material, they still were not going to bow down. But then they said, be it known unto you, we will not bow down. You know, and when you come to Daniel, Daniel being thrown in the den of lions, the Bible says very plainly in Daniel chapter 6, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew that here was a law that said no man could ask any petition with any god but the king for 30 days. If he did so, he's going to be thrown in the den of lions. When he knew that that law was in effect, he knelt and prayed 3 times a day, and he did it 4 times. And of course, God protected him, shut the mouths of the lions, just like God protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So here are men who are resisting the highest civil ruler in the land, and doing so with the blessing of God upon them.
But of course, if we disagree with government, if we must be following God's rule, God's law. I mean, you can't just be indiscriminate in what you do. But when, of course, the rulers are not following God's law, then we have an obligation to oppose them.
Well, of course, you see, the Bible says in Acts 5 and verse 29, the Bible says we ought to obey God rather than man.
Right.
It's right. It's good to obey man as long as they are obeying God. But when there is a conflict between man and God, we must obey God rather than man, because God is the highest authority. There's none greater than him. You know, let me give you one other illustration that most people never think about, and that's Amram and Jochebed, who were the parents of Moses. And they're even referred to in Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible says that they were not afraid of the king's commandment. I mean, the law had already been passed that here they were to put their children to death, and they refused. They were not afraid of the king's commandment. In fact, in light of that commandment, they simply resisted him and kept their son alive. And, of course, you know the story from there. But here they are, once again, very obviously resisting their civil ruler with the blessing of God. And I can give you one illustration that ought to really climax it, and that's found in the book of Acts chapter 5, because the rulers there threw the disciples into prison and told them not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. And guess what? God sent an angel, opened the prison door, sent them out, and told them to do exactly what the rulers told them not to do. So in that instance, in Acts chapter 5, verses 17 through 20, God himself acted to resist the civil rulers and the spiritual rulers who were wicked and ungodly and going contrary to him. He sent the angel open the door.
Well, of course, we know the story of Joseph and Mary, and of course, Herod had ordered that all the children were to be killed, and of course, they took off and went to Egypt. Now, if they'd been obedient, they would have just stayed there and had their son killed. I mean, after all, he was the ruler. Were we to be subservient to him? And really, what's so insane today, Pastor, is that so many Christians simply hide behind Romans 13 as a justification for not being involved in trying, of course, to save our country or to have any impact at all of what's going on. Or we're simply to sit back and do absolutely nothing, not be involved, and then allow this country to be destroyed. And I fear that God is going to bring his judgment on America, as he's brought on every other country that's ever turned against him. And not because of what the people have done, it's what they haven't done that's important.
Yes, sir. Well, let me mention one other thing in light of just what you said. And talking about the covenantal nature of government, there is another truth about that, and that is simply this, that in biblical covenants, all parties are responsible to the Lord to carry out their responsibilities to the fullest. Now, the interesting thing is, when a king or a civil ruler sends privately and as an individual. God always judges him privately or as an individual. For instance, when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, God did not judge the whole nation. God judged David. So when a ruler sins like that as an individual, God always judges them as an individual. But when a ruler sins openly and publicly, and the people do not stop him, then God will always judge the people with the ruler. For instance, in 2 Samuel chapter 21, Saul then was murdering the Gibeonites, and everyone knew that the Gibeonites were not to be killed. They had entered into a covenant with Israel. And because of that, in 2 Samuel 21, God sent a famine on the land for 3 years because they allowed Saul to do that which they knew absolutely was wrong. I pointed out David was judged as an individual when he committed his sin with Bathsheba. But when he sinned publicly and openly in 1 Chronicles 21, in numbering the people and no one stopped him, God judged the people as well as the king. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 15 and verse 4, the most wicked king in Judah was a man by the name of Manasseh. And the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 15 verse 4 that God was going to send the people into captivity for what Manasseh did. Now, why in the world would God judge the people with their ruler? Because they knew everything he was doing was wrong and wicked, and they refused to stop him. And so here we have a connection between public sins and the people. Yes, we are responsible. Yes, we are accountable. And so many people in this land say, well, it doesn't affect me what they do up there. They'll have to answer to God for that. It does affect you if you know that they're sinning openly and willfully and publicly, and you don't lift a finger to stop them. God will judge the people along with the wicked civil ruler.
And of course, didn't pretty much the same thing happen with Ahab?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's the fact. Well, that's exactly what happened. That's why there was that drought in that land for all those years. Because the people were allowing Ahab and Jezebel to do exactly what they did.
And, you know, I think the trouble is that we really don't study the stories of the Old Testament or the stories of the New Testament. We're not getting, of course, the biblical teaching that so that we can see what's happened in the past, so we can understand what's happening in the present, and we can anticipate what will happen in the future.
Yes, sir.
And we really need to in our churches, to be studying these old stories, because there's a tremendous a wisdom and lesson in those stories, and that's one reason they're there, that God provided them for us so that we could learn from the mistakes of the past so we would not make them in our generation. But, you know, it just seems that people always forget, and it's much easier to do nothing, and men and women become accomplices to the evils they fail to oppose. Our guest
well,
is...
You know,
go right ahead.
You pointed out just then, Scripture says in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, talking about the Old Testament, was written for our learning and our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world have come. So we better be learning from the Old Testament, or else we're going to be in deep trouble ourselves, I can assure you.
Well, of course, the book, again, is The Christian and Civil Government. And what sort of response have you gotten to this book? In fact, somebody gave me a copy of it, and it was very inexpensive. Of course, it was a second-hand book when they got it. But, you know, there's such a wisdom in this. Of course, this is not going to be a second-hand book. It's going to be part of my library for the future, because this is a subject that the average Christian has to know how to address. And I've never heard this properly addressed at any church before.
Well, I've had a good response. The book now is in its third printing. Very obviously, it hasn't gotten out the way I wanted to get out, but the Lord has certainly used the book. It's been all around the country, and I hope that a great many more will get out and people will see that. I also wrote a sequel to the book. I have a second book, The Sovereignty of God in Civil Government. Actually, the first one, The Christian Civil Government, use things from the human side, and The Sovereignty of God in Civil Government deals with things from the divine side. But very obviously, both books, I believe, are very well needed in this country today, especially since we are so ignorant concerning our history and our heritage.
Well, I think it's so vitally important that the book was written, and I just will certainly, I think we'll probably be carrying it here at Radio Liberty, because we need to train people. I mean, my ministry is radio ministry, but it's really a training ministry to try to bring vitally important information to people, the information they're not going to get through other sources. So anyway, of course, as we begin seeing this, and then we carry what's happened in the past through to what's going on at the present time, and America suddenly embraces one evil and wicked thing after another at every level of our government, whether it be sodomy, or whether it be abortion, or whether it be suddenly illicit activity or pornography. All of these things are perfectly legitimate here in the name of freedom, and yet freedom is not the ability to do what we want to. It's the ability to do what we should do according to God's law. And when we vary from God's law, we're leaving ourselves open to terrible, terrible consequences.
Yes, sir. And you know, what we have failed to realize is that government can become an idol much like anything else. And we have basically, in this country today, made government a god. And what has happened is, it is indeed a false god, and it is killing us all. There's an interesting verse in Psalm 94 and verse 20. The question is asked, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? Now, I want you to note, first of all, it's a throne which speaks of government. It's a throne of iniquity. It's a wicked civil government. So the question is, shall a wicked civil government have fellowship with God when that wicked civil government makes sin legal? When sin is made legal, you know, by that law. Mischief is another word for sin. And, of course, the obvious answer is no. The obvious answer is no, that wicked civil government does not have any fellowship with God. And so, basically, it becomes an idol. It becomes a rival of God.
Well, you know, it's pretty interesting if you look back through history. Look at Germany, you know, and Adolf Hitler. And the churches went right along with it, and the ministers were preaching Romans 13. And how often do we hear Romans 13 preached today saying, oh, well, my goodness, the Roman government was an authoritarian government, and so they, but Paul said to go right along with that, and people have forgotten that America was something different. We had a government which God had given us, where the power of government was limited over the lives of the people. And, of course, we had godly teaching in our schools, and we had godly people in government, and we had godly people in our military and godly people in our universities. And then little by little, all that was eroded, and the good people did nothing. But the people on the other side were organized. The good people, of course, were not organized, and they had no leadership. And that's one of the big problems. Of course, we did have a great revival in 1730 and another great revival in 1830. But I don't see that great revival coming today. I just hope and pray that there's going to be some ministers out there that are going to be able to actually lead another revival, because short of revival, I don't see any hope for this country.
Well, that's it. It's either revival or judgment, and God can use either one in the sense that he can awaken us and grant us repentance and faith and obedience, or he can certainly judge this country, and I think he is judging it. And I think it's going to probably get an awful lot worse before it gets better.
Well, I fear that you're right, but I think that our job, of course, is to get the information out. And fortunately, we have a radio ministry and a certain number of stations that pull us down every day. In fact, I really do want to get you back on all of our other stations so that they can hear your message. I think it's a very important message, probably more important today than at any other time in our nation's history, because I believe that, you know, we have an obligation to resist evil and to resist tyranny. And people say we're not to resist evil. Well, what is in our government, and they're using our tax money to promote evil throughout the world, then I think that we have an obligation before God and certainly to try to stand against what's going on. And, of course, you have a chapter here, Chapter 6, The Degree of Resistance to Tyranny. Would you like to pick that idea?
Sure. Well, with what little time we have left, I'll be glad to deal with it. But on resistance to tyranny, that's where I point out that there are actually three ways that God has given us in the scriptures to resist tyranny, and the degrees of resistance are, first of all, verbal, and then secondly, flight, and then the third one is what I call violent self-defense, because that's what the Bible declares it to be. When I say verbal, first of all, usually if we are attacked verbally, then our response, our defense, has to be verbal as well, because when, for instance, in 1 Kings 18, when Ahab came to Elijah, he looked at Elijah and said, "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" Elijah said, and I'm paraphrasing, "It's not me, you dirty reprobate, it's you and your wicked wife." I mean, you know, he was attacked verbally, so he defended himself verbally. And in this country, we do have administrative procedures, and we have all kind of motions and petitions and redress of grievances. In other words, there is that verbal defense. And then, secondly, there is flight. Our Lord said, when they persecute you in one city, flee you to another city. And, you know, a lot of times when you think about flight, most people say, well, you're a coward if you run and flee. Well, that's not so. Joseph and Mary fled into Egypt, like you pointed out earlier, but they fled at the direction of God. God commanded them to go down there. Flight is simply a nonviolent way to prevent violence by wicked men. David fled from Saul, and I got news for you. I wouldn't want to be calling David a coward.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess this course to Pastor John Weaver, the book, The Christian and Civil Government. And so you go right ahead. We've got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
All right. And so I was just talking about flight is one of those means. We find Elijah fled in 1 Kings chapter 19. Even the mighty apostle Paul fled in Acts 9 and 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "They let me down over the wall in a basket, because Aretas, the governor there, and the captains were keeping the wall and watching him, trying to get him." And so he fled. He just simply got out of there. Hebrews 11 teaches there that multitudes fled. They were hiding in the mountains, in the caves, in the dens of the earth. And then there's an interesting thing in Jeremiah 26. There's another man who fled by the name of Urijah. The only problem with flight is sometimes it does not work. For instance, in Jeremiah 26, the king sent his men down into Egypt and brought Urijah back and had him put to death. And then not only sometimes it doesn't work, not everybody can flee. For instance, where will a state flee to? Where will a church flee to? I mean, it's easy sometimes for one man or one family to flee, but for a whole nation, where would we go? And how could we go? So you've got verbal defense, you've got flight, and then, of course, the last one is violent self-defense. And the sixth commandment is this: thou shalt not kill. Every negative has a positive. So the positive of the sixth commandment is thou shalt preserve life, which means you have a duty and an obligation and responsibility to preserve your life and the lives of others as well. In fact, Deuteronomy 22 once again talks about how we must defend the lives of other people as well. And so basically this is what happened in the American Revolution when King George III sent those troops in to enforce the edicts of Parliament, which he had no right to do so. There was a fight, and that is basically how this country came into existence. And as I pointed out earlier, it's based upon biblical principles. And all through the Bible there were individuals who fought. Nehemiah fault in protecting the wall there. Even our Lord in Luke 22 and verse 36 said this: let him that hath no sword sell his garment and get one. So he's saying there's a time to fight. But if we need to exhaust, certainly the verbal means first and the flight as well.
Well, I thank you so much for being with us, and we'll be calling you off the air to get you onto our other programs as well. It's a message for times like these. God bless you. Thanks so very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and I hope you enjoyed our program with Pastor John Weaver, and I think that we'll probably go ahead and get the book. I don't really know what it costs, but it's a small little book, easy to read, and yet it's a message I think that people need to have today. For we have an obligation to do what we should, to preserve this nation and certainly to protect ourselves from an increasingly oppressive government that is intent upon corrupting our children and leading them in the paths of unrighteousness. And believe me, that's what's going on in the public schools today. And if your children are going to public schools, you should understand that they are to be indoctrinated in homosexuality, they're be indoctrinated in immorality, their love of family and God and country is to be undermined. That you are not allowed to mention God in there. And if you send your child to church on Sunday, what influence is that going to have when they have their mind all the rest of the time? There is a conspiracy against God, and when you understand that, things begin to make sense. That's why you need, of course, to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and either the book or the CD. And incidentally, this is the last week we'll be offering the 25 DVDs of Brotherhood of Darkness for $99 plus shipping. At the end of this week, we're going to shut off the offer, and so if you'd like to get them, of course, they're nicely packaged. You can give them out or lend them out, but try to get people to watch the story, because it's the story of the spiritual battle that's going on behind the political battle, which we see, but of course we don't see the spiritual battle, but it's not imaginary. It's very real. And certainly the book, the DVD, or certainly the Brotherhood of Darkness special with the book, DVD, and audio tape are available through Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, you need, of course, to get our talk on the Forbidden Secret. That's the Forbidden Secret. And we certainly recommend that to you. And it comes with a syllabus, if you'd like. Because there is a secret that's been passed down for 5,000 years. It's been passed down through the secret societies, and it's been known to a number of leading men and rulers and philosophers. But it was never to be told to the public until these days, which is why I think that these days we're living in today are so very important and different than any other time throughout history, because now they're beginning to popularize the secret. Rhonda Burns has popularized it on the Oprah Winfrey Show two or three times, and Larry King and Jim Carrey and Ellen DeGeneres, and they're all telling you this is the way to go. Tap into the hidden power that's out there. Tap in, of course, to this power that will give you wealth and prosperity, and that's why we have a four-tape, a four-CD set called The Secret Behind the Secret. We want you to get that. The Secret Behind the Secret. Because it explains what Rhonda Burns is pushing, and certainly the law of attraction, and of course the danger that the lives and souls of so many people are in today. You need to get our four tape or four CD set on the supernatural, and the book that goes with that, The Beautiful Side of Evil by Johanna Michelson, who we interview in our four tapes on the supernatural. Of course, we suggest you get our new four-tape set or four-CD set on the Bilderbergers. And there's a DVD that goes along with that by Alex Jones called Endgame. We have two books on the Bilderbergers. One is called The Bilderbergers. The other is called Bilderberger Diary by Jim Tucker, who's been tracking them for 25 years or more. And my wife has read the book, tells me already so much exciting material that it's all four items, the four tape or four CD set, the DVD, and the two books on the Bilderbergers. And then to get into what they're really about, you need to get a four tape or four CD set on satanic crimes. Satanic crimes. And then, of course, you need to get the book Satanic Crimes, which is available from Radio Liberty. Our number again, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. We do hope that many people give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival, because if we don't have a revival, why, we're going to lose this country. And lastly, please pray for Radio Liberty.